This is the podcast, Jeremiah Blacklist Podcast. For this week's episode, Miss Rebecca Thrall, number 76. I'm Brian, he's Dave. We got the pickle bites and we're ready.
Can't decide if those pickle bites sounded good or not.
I have no idea what that means.
I love that line. You don't really catch Red. I wrote that down too.
Yeah, I did too.
You don't catch him like that very often, where he's like, I have no idea.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not even going to try to play along.
Yeah. So
I love and am going to miss his motel interactions.
Yeah.
Now that he's got a jet in the middle of the woods.
I don't understand why they don't have any fuel.
Yeah, I don't know. Would they have landed with no fuel?
They would have landed with no fuel, especially at a place they don't know in a brand new airstrip that isn't going to have fuel, and they know this. And
right. Carved out by elephants.
Yeah.
Love.
I thought that was actually brilliant.
Love it.
I don't know why, but I thought that was like the best part of the entire episode. Just the... A-team level, I love it when a plan comes together type moment.
Oh, know? Yeah.
The 90 seconds that it was.
And you say that, that's who Smokey is. He's the Murdoch of this.
Kind of. Yeah.
He's crazy, but he can do whatever you need him to do. Logistically. Yeah, I love the brilliance. They're going to be a fun little pair, him and the financial lady.
I think so, too. As long as we don't get... too much of them. I think this was like today was the exact perfect amount.
It's the amount that we should get from them every week or every other week.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need overkill, but it was a good amount of them and they were great.
Yep.
Lots going on in this episode.
And at the same time.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Well, yeah.
Blacklister was kind of pointless. Because it was, see, here's my problem. The Blacklister is a list he should already have.
We've had this debate. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, he just said, there's, something's rotten in the state of Denmark. That's really all he said. Or in Baltimore or wherever it was.
He didn't give them who it was and a name. And he didn't give the name until the end when you got Miss Rebecca Thrall. But it's. And we've talked about this going all the way back to season one, that you'll have, this is almost an interesting story if you take the approach that these are memories. And when the show ends, it's Red sitting, 90 years old somewhere, and he's filling out that list as if, he's putting it together then. Although we know that he came there the first day and said, I got a list of all these names and people you didn't know. But several of them, he didn't know either. So where do the numbers come from? And that's the thing. The numbers are screwy. And I know we got a picture. You had dug up a picture last week showing all the numbers. Did we post that or we were going to?
I think I may have stolen it from the actual NBC Blacklist site.
Yeah. But it's a list showing a bunch of names that are blacked out, which we don't know who they are yet, and several names that we've already met. We've met a lot of these people. So I was actually kind of surprised to see how much of the list we've uncovered.
There should be, 80 plus episodes, right?
This season we'll get into the 100th episode, so yes.
And we had one episode that was three people in the first season, and we had at least...
We had an episode that was four.
Two episodes that were no people.
Right.
Those three people make up and that washes. So whatever episode number we're on total is the amount of Blacklisters we've
seen. We're on roughly that amount. Yep.
Right. So it should be 80 some odd.
Some odd number. Yep. Yeah. So, we're getting there certainly, but it's, the list right now seems to go up to like 190 something. I guess there's a comic book series too, where there's a couple of the ones on the list are considered some NBC's. I don't know if NBC is releasing some comic. I've never heard of it to know to go look for it, other than I stumbled upon the names on the list and I'm like, I don't know who that is.
I have a vague memory of seeing something about it a while ago and not being all that interested in looking it up in a deeper
way. Right. But anyway, and that's the problem. We get this episode once in a while where just the Blacklister is irrelevant. It's more about the you know, this was kind of a setup story for other things that are going on. Tom is making connections for the guy who's going to extract the DNA. And he's kind of a quirky little dude. It was almost like a Smokey Putnam character. He was kind of similar in his delivery and his arrogance. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there's...
but
there's
not enough of them to matter.
That I couldn't quite get...
what out of him?
Yeah, like another character, another famous character from a story, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. If I think about it, I'll post it on the thing. But
yeah, he seemed
somebody who was so smart, and then somehow basically turned to chemicals, and was still almost like a House type character. That's not who I was thinking of, but
brilliant, but drug addicted.
Yeah, something happened that forced him to get out, or Mike Ross from Suits or something like that. That type of
Sure.
Seen that one.
So we have that. I guess
go back. Do you get the impression at all that Tom is slowly starting to put together his own little network too?
A little bit here. Yeah, it's interesting. There was a lot with Tom. There wasn't a lot of Tom, but there was a lot of Tom in this episode.
Yeah, it was. It was focusing on him to really kind of make sure that we care about him again.
Right. Which we're all in. We like Tom episodes.
So. He's been one of our favorite characters from the beginning.
Like we were annoyed. I know I was a Tom defender that I did. I actually believed he knew nothing about anything, but I was wrong. But that's okay.
You're allowed to be wrong once in a while.
The baby's gone. We'll never see the baby again.
Where is the baby?
But we're getting closer to the finding out what's in the box. And that was the DNA guy was able to extract some DNA from the tooth.
Tooth. Remember the tooth.
So we'll find out soon once they run it. And I don't know, they'll send it off to Ancestry.com or something and get a result back.
Right.
But we had Tom in the ATF van, which that was not a surprise. I actually surprised Tom didn't even say, is this all you? Or are we really getting... I mean, Tom seems so freaked out about getting arrested when he's been arrested before. And like it was unlike Tom, his reaction. Yes, no, maybe.
Yeah, no, when it first happened, is a little bit of a surprise, and then they went to a different scene, and when they came back and put him back in the van, at that point it clicked, like, oh, this is a setup.
Oh, I knew right. It was the first thing I wrote. Once I saw the ATF guys coming, I'm like, I wrote it down. Not real ATF. This is all part of Red's plan. And then I was starting to wonder during the interaction in the van, okay, Tom was playing it up so much, so I'm like, is Tom trying to get something out of Red? Like, because there's no way Tom would be this flipping out about it.
Well, this is the first time I think he's been arrested since the baby.
Okay. But I still would think he's just as smart. He's got abilities to get himself out of situations. I can't believe that he would give in so easily. And that was kind of a weak moment. So it almost made me wonder if he was trying to just play that role to get something out of Red. Whereas, you know, he was saying to Red, he knows that he's lied to Liz before. But about what? That's the question we'll have.
I don't know. Red is definitely deceived in what one person calls, you know, deception, another calls a lie. They're not always synonymous. They're not the same thing. And
but then,
of course, we know that, you know, one way or another, because he has said two blatant statements that conflict each other of I am your father, I am not your father. So one of those has to be a lie.
And they're shoving it down our faces again.
Yeah.
At the end. And that's
she's just suddenly buying into this too much. Like, oh, he's my daddy. I got to do it.
That's what I mean. Like, it's bad.
You don't know.
And as I always said, the show doesn't work when there isn't that mystery. And I think they're laying it on so thick just so that we realize there's the mystery there. Because you know, it's like when in Who's the Boss, when Tony Danza and Elizabeth finally get married. You know, you can't have the whole thing about that show is that sexual tension. You know, the whole thing about this is not knowing some of these answers, but this is probably the biggest answer to have. And it just kind of fell in a little too easily.
Yeah.
With DNA.
So. Yeah, that DNA could come back and be something totally different.
Yeah, who knows what that DNA in the case is going to be. And if it's, well, hell, it comes back and it ends up being Liz's real father.
I was just thinking that too. Or that whatever the DNA is it matches Red's exactly.
Right.
Get clue that which is Liz's real father, and somehow Red
is a twin.
He didn't swap her DNA, he swapped his DNA, or yeah, he's a twin. I think we've, you know, done that one too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean we've been pushing that one. We don't want to believe that he really is the father.
No, and they're pushing it so blatantly that it just can't be the case. Yeah. And even like I wasn't sure if Tom buys into it. You know, maybe was he saying, I know you've lied to her before, like I know you're lying, I know you're not her father. But then he comes out to her at the end. I just can't believe you're related to him. I mean, it's such bad dialogue. It's horribly written.
Yeah, that exchange at the end was terrible.
It's bad. It feels like a bad, you know, Disney movie or something like that. When you're just having that kind of goofy dialogue at the end before the credits roll and the music starts swelling up. It was just horrible. Thankfully, that wasn't the last scene, but we get more Glenn. We're happy to see Glenn again.
I was so excited. It's like you walk in and I'm like, this is the DMB. Are we going to see Glenn? Are we going to see Glenn? Yes, Glenn.
And Glenn's good. We love everything about Glenn. I'm glad he was there to help. And a fun little interaction at the end too, sitting outside the plane.
That was good.
You know, farting Glenn. But was Dembe drinking? We just talked last week about Dembe not drinking. Was that beer or was that just like bottled soda?
I don't know.
Because Dembe was having the same thing Glenn was having.
That's true. I hadn't put that. I took note that he was drinking a beer and, you know, for whatever reason it did, but it didn't click. You know, he didn't drink last week.
What?
It could be O'Doul's. I don't know.
Right. Cause last week, mate,
that's not a wise thing to do. Like you don't go, oh, it was O'Doul's. Like you don't make it so this question even happens from a writing standpoint.
Right. You don't. Yeah. We just going to ignore it. But we made the comment last week. It was obvious he avoided the wine.
Yeah.
And we made the assumption for religious reasons, but looked like he might have been drinking this week.
You know, did he avoid the wine last week just to sell his interrogation?
And I think that's probably, thinking about it, it might be more what it is. I'm sure there are examples if he was drinking this week where he's been drinking in the past and we just didn't pick up on it.
I don't know that.
I'm trying to think of a scene where he might have been sitting with Red somewhere with wine or something like that.
Yeah, interesting.
But yeah, the episode, you know, the whole Red sequence with the guns was just there to show him, you know, gradually rebuilding power. Hey, I've acquired a jet. You know, I got some guns. And, you know, we're good. Moving along, we had Wrestler had some story too.
Yeah, that was, I thought it was a little too soon. I think we needed to almost needed to go long enough to forget about that guy.
Yeah.
And he needed to kind of forget about it. I think that would have done better for the story, but it fed into the dialogue at the end between he and Red, Wrestler and Red.
Right.
But do you wonder if Red knows something?
I think Red knows.
I think Red knows too.
He wouldn't. I don't think he would have bothered saying that. But he's going to let Wrestler come to him.
Yeah.
He's not going to intervene. He's not going to stop it. But he's just throwing it out there.
He's not in too deep yet. Right. I believe Red believes every word he says, that he has the highest respect. You know, thin blue line, all this.
Yep.
Because he said it that way, he doesn't want to damage Wrestler's pride or anything like that.
Right.
He will let Wrestler do it of his own accord. I think if Wrestler gets in too deep, which I think is what's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
Russ is going to get too deep and not have the chance to go to Rhett, then Red's going to have to swoop in and go, I've known all along. I wanted to give you the opportunity to come to me. At this point, it's too bad. I'm not, screw your pride. I need to keep you alive type situation.
Correct. I expect that's exactly how that will play out. And I don't think that, I agree that I think it was too soon to bring him back in, but I don't think this is going to drag on very much longer if they're going to hit it every week.
It'll be after the third one, the third time he helps him, he'll be like, nope, that's it. I'm done.
Right. There's going to be that arguing fight. I get it. You're hanging this over my head, but I still got to put up appearances. You know, I can't be helping you constantly and putting, you know, both of us at risk of being found out.
Right.
So you got to stop it. You got to stop being an idiot. And you're going to have that altercation. And in the episode where Wrestler finally has to deal with it. Do you think it gets to the point where he will admit what happened?
To
somebody?
Yes, to Reddington, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And Reddington will say almost the exact same thing along the lines of, I own you now. But it will be, I will never make you do something you're not uncomfortable with or you're not comfortable with.
Right. I'll call on you from time to time, but I'm not going to put you in this position.
Yeah. I won't do it as bad as he did. I'll just be looking for a little information, I need a license plate number type thing.
Exactly.
And Russ will be far more okay with that as opposed to moving a body. And I was laughing my butt off with the whole, yeah, a friend of mine, there's a body hidden in the trunk.
Oh yeah.
Gross Point Blank came to mind so fast of telling everybody the truth and nobody believes you.
Exactly. Loved it.
And he could go, I told you there was a body in the trunk.
There was a body.
You know, and then you get the line of Debbie from Gross Point Blank. You know, we joke about the terrible things we don't do.
Yeah, we don't do these things.
but
yeah.
Yeah, that made me, and even Navabi kind of got, there's a body in the trunk.
Right.
It was like, oh yeah, big old bad wrestler's got a body in the trunk. And then, lo and behold, there's a body in the trunk.
gave us our humor for the week.
There was a lot of humor in this one.
It was.
Glenn was hysterical. Who loves you, baby? You know?
Yeah. Oh, Glenn's great.
The thrill is gone. He was actually, that was actually a really, really good exchange with Glenn, going back to him about, you're down in the dumps. I'm not going to kick you while you're down, is basically what he's saying.
Right.
It's no fun to do this when you are honestly here seriously looking for help.
Right.
And he did a little teeny tiny bit, but not too bad, because there was $1 million involved, you know, and I don't blame him. Like, really? You think I have that? You know, that was a little teeny tiny bit of giving him hell, but.
But he took care of him because he knows what Red's capable of, and Red's going to get back on his feet, and he wants to be part of that. There's no way he's going to turn his back. And I think we'll start seeing other people start being brought back into the fold, too.
Yeah, we'll see a few. Boz is still around, we think, right?
I don't believe he died. I think he was shot in that last episode of the end of the season last year, but I don't think he died.
Yeah.
At least we weren't given the impression he did.
Whoever the guy, the torture guy is with
the oxygen mask, yep.
Who just kind of shows up every once in a while. I think he's been given a name, but I don't know why. It always makes me laugh.
We'll see him again.
It's going to be a lot of the foreign contacts that he lost.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be well on his way to being rebuilt. But the money thing was a little screwy because he had... Has he not pawned that Rembrandt that he threw in the back of his Audi yet? Or the coin that was worth $3.1 million? Or
yeah, I guess not. I mean, he was able to, they were able to get things done without money. As his financial advisor there said, you know, when they were clearing the field and they did it with no budget because they have no money.
Yeah, but they didn't do, it was all pretty easy stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they dragged two elephants and over to a field and ripped down trees.
Lawnmowers and just a bunch
chainsaws,
of guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
A bunch of guys in pickup trucks who were probably the same guys that came back in the ATF trucks. is what I assume, Smokey was one of them. Any other notes on this one? There was a touch at the beginning of the episode when it was starting just with the Blacklister portion of it, with cops shooting people, that we started to get this. We've talked about it, we're going to have a social.
I think they started to go that way.
But then it got cut off and it never talked again. But the cast was kind of debating good cops versus bad cops shooting people.
Yeah, and
it's a huge debate in America, and they kind of touched on it, and you had Cooper
said all the right things, to me, kind of the right things of people do some crazy things sometimes, and people are people, they're humans, right. And you know, we all have bad days. That doesn't excuse anything.
Right, there are good people and bad people, though.
I think they got smart in the writing with the second cop to make it the fact that it was a black woman, so they didn't pull any of the racial tensions in there. It wasn't even, couldn't be excused. They couldn't do anything on that. It was just whatever it was.
Oh, right. And the first one was a white.
I think that was, it was all just trying to remove any possibility of that thought in there.
A race thing. And right. And having, African-American actor for Cooper be the one to say all the right things. It was, they were conscious of what they were doing. They made their,
to some extent to point at it, but not make a point of it.
Right. It wasn't going to be part of the episode, but they weren't going to ignore it either. Because if they ignored it, it would have been a disservice as well, because it is such a popular topic nowadays.
Yeah. It's a popular topic, but we're not going to get into it either.
No.
And I think they did the thing of, it's an issue, we're going to try and do everything we can to recognize it, but not actually put it into the episode. And I'm okay with that.
And then as the characters, we're just going to handle this investigation with the law.
Yeah.
We're not going to take sides in this. We're just going to figure out what happened.
Yeah. And if we're way off base on that, let us know.
If we missed a point, then
We got to see Liz do something she doesn't do a whole lot of, and it's what she was hired into the FBI to do. We got to see her profile somebody.
I loved it.
And it's a couple of times in the last couple of episodes that we've seen this. I think we saw it 2 weeks ago as well. Sometime recently we've talked about this, like, oh my goodness, she actually profiled
somebody.
She's
actually interviewing somebody. Yep.
You know, she did some of the detective stuff. Something's not right.
Something that it was so built up that that's what she is, and that they've done very little of, but they've made her out to be super cop, where she can, shoot whatever from 100 yards away and can chase down suspects like it's nothing. And you wouldn't expect that to be her, like Clarice and Silence of the Lambs. You don't expect her to be a badass, FBI agent at the same time as being a profiler.
Let's see, what else I got on this? Talked about that. The piping clover drove me a little nuts. One of the things I did really like going to talk on Wrestler too, Wrestler tells a story. And that's all I wrote down was Wrestler tells a story. And I for some reason, it kind of proved he can act a little bit there. And we've never really questioned that on him. But you start to see a little, I think we know we're going to get more deep into Wrestler because of the other stuff with the blackmail going on.
Right.
It started to in the first season, and then it died off, and we haven't really seen a whole ton from him since. And I think this is going to be a very, very Wrestler centric.
Yeah, we had the drug addicted Wrestler, which was very brief and kind of went off. We had the relationship he had with the woman when she was killed.
She got killed.
And then we had a little bit of
turmoil when he was chasing
Liz.
Lizzie. But I think this one's going to, because last season was very Aram centric.
Very much so.
And the season before that was very Cooper centric.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to be back on.
We've cycled back around. I mean, because it's Navabi's not a character to follow.
She's not even a secondary. She's a tertiary character.
Right.
Okay. Primary is Liz and Red. And your secondaries are Aram and Wrestler and Cooper. And maybe Dembe. Dembe may even fall into tertiary as well.
Yeah, I mean they'll give Navabi some some episodes where she's doing something, but she's not a weekly character. She's more there just to...
They're not going to make a huge storyline about her, like they did with Arum, like they did with Cooper and his wife.
Right.
Like, you know, like they're doing with Wrestler.
Yeah, they don't give her a story so much. They just say, we need somebody to go interview this suspect. You go do that.
Riddle me this, and I was thinking about this week. Is the team complete? It feels like they're missing somebody out of this team. Because effectively it's four. It's Liz, Wrestler, Marum, and Navabi. And you get Cooper as the boss, right? But it just feels like they're missing a personality type in there. You know, there's somebody...
Not that they've had it, but it's right now missing, but that... Yeah.
I don't know why. I just get the feeling we're going to get a new character, a new long-term...
Yeah, I mean, it's because a lot of Liz working so tightly with Red right now, although not really in this episode, but... She has spent a little more time hanging out with Red and not...
Yeah, because she's only half on the team to some extent.
Right. And that's what I mean. So it almost feels like you need somebody to fill that space when she's not working on the team on some investigation.
Right. And it's really only three field agents, because Arum isn't a field agent.
He's just their tech geek back at the back at the base. Yeah, and it's always been this number of people, but it always feels like every episode they bring somebody in. We got this person helping us out. We got, you know, they brought in the Mossad people to help her in her episodes. And
getting the feeling, I don't know why, that we're going to get another long-term.
And you know, it was last year, and I wrote this down. Where did this guy go? Is Wrestler's old partner.
Who, oh, yeah. What happened to him? What was his name?
Julian. So he got pulled.
Yeah.
Like he was at the ice rink, and he's gonna get Red. He's close. And then, you know, things happened that he got pulled off the case and it went away. I assumed he was gonna get killed in some way, but now. But yeah, I mean he was hunting him down. He was on the chase. He was that other person. He was that conflict from the inside that we had. But we don't have that going on right now.
No, and they still never really figured out there's a mole somewhere.
Yeah, they've been hinting that for a while, and we thought we found it, and it was gone. I mean, I guess you had the thing with it ended up being Arm's girlfriend.
Well, no, there was another one.
Well, every season there's one.
Somebody inside the government.
Yeah.
That was giving information, because it got hinted at a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll figure
it out. Loose ends. They don't need to tie him up right away, but I think we're going to get sometime this season. I think we're going to get another long-term character.
Yeah. We'll probably get the new head of the FBI. We'll probably pop their head in and we'll get that person to create conflict. Cause you need some sort of in the government conflict.
We got a new antagonist ally.
Right. You need somebody to do that, because Pennybaker loves them. But as is missing, so.
Okay. No, I'm thinking another person on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Like another actual agent that's with them as part of the post office.
As long as it's not brought in to create some sort of tension between Arum and Navabi, I'm fine. You can bring anybody in. Because they feel like they got to keep throwing that at us every season.
Yeah.
So let's just let it go.
I think they did well in that last week. Yeah, you're dating. Nobody cares.
Right. So let's, please. Okay. Yeah. No more. All right. Any other notes?
I just put I heart Glenn.
Yeah.
It smells like duck. The whole, it took the part of the money scam from, I think it was Lethal Weapon 2.
Yep.
It was a slight twist on what they did there about taking out loans and then never paying them back.
Correct.
Little different. They were doing it Lethal Weapon for money laundering, but.
Right.
So. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for this one. So, yeah, we're got a few more episodes. I think. According to IMDb, there's nothing booked after the next two, so we'll see what's coming up as we continue to move through. You can email us at blacklist@podcastderby.com or find us on Facebook or Twitter with some comments there. Facebook, yeah, like I said, that iTunes reviews, those are always good too. All right, so that's going to do it for this week. We will see you next week. I'm Brian. He's Dave. Have a good one. Good.